Matthew chapter 6, begin reading in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 reads, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises contained therein. Lord, we just pray that you would minister to us today, that you would supply our needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We know that you know our needs before we even realize it in so many ways. And we just pray that we would help us to understand our part, Lord, what you expect of us, so that we might be in a place, Lord, where we could be abundantly blessed by you. Pray you'd give me the words to speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And we recognize that so much of life is spent worrying about so many things that can happen or that could happen or that might happen. And they might not actually ever happen, but so often we can be so concerned of that that we can develop all manner of health problems and ulcers and other things concerning ourselves over the future. We realize in life that there is often so much to do, so much that needs to be done, and life can be so busy. And our future is unknown and uncertain that whatever we do, we have no control over what might happen in the end. And we think in the times that we are in now worldwide, that we're in the economic recession that's throughout the world, we can be blessed that Saskatchewan, it's like no one's told Saskatchewan quite yet. It seems like things are doing quite well, and that is a blessing to be here in this time. But we think even in our time here in this area in West Central Saskatchewan, time of drought, there's a lot of things to think about and be concerned about for the future. And of course, we know well, worrying is a sin, that we're not supposed to worry. But we say, well, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. That we have that thought, that we desire to have kind of a plan, we desire to know what's going to come down the pipe, and we kind of want to have a backup plan, so if something doesn't work out, that we're already covered in some way. But God wants us to realize that He will provide, that He's going to look after us as His people. That He says here, take no thought what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. That we're not either to be worried or concerned, that we're to trust Him, that we are to look to Him as our provider, and realize that He is a God of love, a God of righteousness, that He will give us what we need in His time and according to His wisdom. We look at the Lord, we look in the Old Testament, the instance with Abraham, of how The Lord said, told him to go up to the mountain to offer up his son Isaac, and he was bringing him up, and Isaac said, "Well, Lord, well, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God shall provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." And we see in that story how it happened that Abraham was being obedient, and it was a test of the Lord to prove if he truly loved him, and that he hadn't been serving him just to get what he wanted, and now he was going to do whatever he wanted, that he was devoted to God. And we see how the Lord did provide a substitute, of how he there was a ram with its horns caught in the thicket, and he was offered in place of Isaac. And in so many ways it was a pattern of what was to come, of how the Lord was to provide a substitute himself for us on our behalf in giving us his only begotten son. And so we remember from that Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, and that means the Lord shall provide. And we see that throughout Scripture, how he provides for his people. We think of the children of Israel, how so often, whenever something didn't go right, they'd be complaining and wanting to go back to Egypt and getting themselves in all kinds of trouble for it. But the Lord always provided. He'd provide them water out of the rock. He'd provide them manna from heaven and quail to eat. That they never had to concern themselves with that their shoes never wore out. In the 40 years of tramping through the wilderness, you'd think that's one of those miracles that it maybe isn't thought of as big as crossing the Red Sea or slaying the firstborn or anything like that. But you think of that's just as miraculous as the other things that he could do that. And we understand that the Lord provides. And we see from the Scriptures that he has provided our greatest need, and that's our salvation. We recognize that he knows our needs before we're even aware of them, before we even ask for him to fulfill those needs. And it's that is absolutely true with our salvation. That in Romans 5 verse 6 where it says, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were enemies of God, and so many of us, we of course, we're in the New Testament era, and it's something that before we were born, we know, looking back, that the Lord already had a Savior provided for us 2,000 years ago so that we could come to Christ and be saved, that our sins could be washed away. And we have to think of that. If God is able to provide the greatest need that I have in my life, my salvation, certainly he can meet all the little needs, all the different things that we might have that come up in our lives. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, says Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In verse 32 it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And that thought that he would meet our needs, he would meet our greatest need, he would provide us with a way of salvation, knowing that we couldn't help ourselves in that respect in any way. And so we understand that if he can do that, then to feed us each day, to give us clothes to wear, a place to stay, that he is well able to do that. We think of nature, of how the Lord looks after the animals in his way, of the fowls of the air, that they don't have to sow or reap, or they don't have to get a job and earn income so that they can buy bird seed or anything like that, that the Lord looks after them, that the Lord provides for them. And we realize that we're, he says, "Are you not much better than they?" That we're of more value to him than many sparrows. And as his eye is on the sparrow, if he has such concern for something that really is, we would think as being so insignificant, then we can know that he's concerned with us. We think how it says that the lilies of the field, that they grow, they don't toil or spin, they don't make their own clothes, but yet the Lord arrays them in a glory greater than that of King Solomon in his days of the height of his kingdom. And we think of that, the beauty of the flowers, and so how they're all so very different, and yet the majesty that they have in that. And it's, these are things that, of course, you get them at the florist shop, and you can try and keep them alive for maybe a couple weeks, but they always eventually wither and die. But yet we realize, how much more shall He clothe us if we trust Him? And so we are to learn to trust Him, know that He will provide us for us. We know that He knows our needs even more than we do, that sometimes we say, well, Lord, I need this and I need it right now, and He says, well, actually you don't need it right now, and I have something better for you later on if you'll just trust me. But we want to get to the crux of the matter, what Jesus is trying to share with His disciples and with us in this passage. And we see that in verse 33, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That we understand that we have a responsibility in this, that God promises He would provide for us, but there is something that He wants us to do, something He expects of us. We see throughout the Scriptures all the abundance of the promises in God's Word, and we understand with many of them that they are an if-then promise, that they, if we fulfill this part, then the Lord will fulfill His part, that we can understand that. And we see that, "To seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That the thought that these things must be our first priority above any other thing that we are to seek if we want the Lord to bless us. And it says, "The kingdom of God and His righteousness." We want to understand, first of all, what is the kingdom of God? This is actually the first time this is mentioned in the Scriptures as we go through it chronologically. And so we want to understand what the kingdom of God is. We realize that it is spoken of in many places in parables, that the Lord would say, well, the kingdom of God is like this, and He would try to describe it, that this was something new that people didn't understand, and that He had to try to bring it around. We see, if you turn with me to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, that John had come and he was preaching, and then after John was put in prison, then Jesus came to Galilee, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he was saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And so we understand that in order to enter this kingdom, that it requires repentance and faith. And we see also that this kingdom is not visible. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. 17:20 reads, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And so we want to understand what the kingdom of God is, that it is not something that we see at this time, but it is something that the Lord is seeking to bring in. And we understand that sin has brought the earth under the dominion of the world has been cursed because of sin, that it's under the dominion of sin and death and Satan, and that Christ came to free the world from that, that He came to reestablish and regain His right to this earth, to regain His crown over all humanity. And we can think of it in this way, that the kingdom of God is enlarged one soul at a time, that We understand that there will be a time in the future during the millennial reign when he shall rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That we are to look forward to that day. We are to pray for it, as we read in what we know as the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Thy kingdom come," that we desire that. But we understand that when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," that we are to each day seek for the advancement and the enlargement of the kingdom of God. In the sense, in our own hearts and minds and in the hearts and minds of other people. That someone has defined the kingdom of God as the rule of God in the hearts and minds of willing subjects. And the thought that we who are saved, we've come into the kingdom, but yet we want to have the Lord rule over every part of our lives. And then we want to see the advancement of His kingdom and to see that more and more people get saved, that trust Christ as Savior, that repent of their sins and accept Him by faith so that they too can enter into the kingdom of God and be blessed by that. And so we want to think of that in that way, that our life is to be spent and our first priority is God's work and to see God be used and His Word be used in reaching people for Him. And we want to think of that living a life, that if our life, when we got to the end of it, that we said, well, I just spent my whole life just working so that I would feed myself and clothe myself and everything else, that life would seem kind of empty, that it just kind of, I just kind of survived. I made it through life. But the Lord just doesn't want us to survive. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants our life to be fruitful for Him. And that's what the Lord is trying to get across to us. He says, I'll take care of the provisions of everyday life. That you are to work, you're to be faithful in doing what I want you to do. But you don't need to be concerned about that. What your concern needs to be, your priority needs to be, is to seek the Lord first. To seek His kingdom, to do what will count for eternity. And that is what we see, and if you turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus says, John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. That is what we are to seek after, that which will count for eternity, that which will make a difference throughout the ages. We see also in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That we have that mindset, that we're seeking those things which are above. We think of Abraham, of how he was a man that the Lord told him to leave everything he knew, everything that he was used to, everything he was comfortable with, and go to this land that he would show him, and he promised to make him a blessing. And so Abraham went. He didn't know where he was going. And he spent his whole time on earth dwelling in tents, that he never really had any kind of permanent house. The only thing that he owned was a few wells and a burial plot, the cave of Machpelah. And it's that thought that we see in Hebrews spoken of, that he wasn't concerned with that, that he was seeking a city whose builder and maker was God, that he was looking for the future, that he was content. And we know from the scriptures that the Lord blessed him, that he was never without. He was actually a very rich man in many ways, even though we would think of him almost as a vagrant or a nomad or something like that. But yet the Lord blessed him, and the Lord gave possession of the land to his descendants, even though he never was able to see it in his own life. And so that is the mindset, that we are strangers and pilgrims upon this earth as Abraham was, and that we are to trust the Lord will provide us with the provision, that we're to seek Him first. And we see not also, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It also says His righteousness. That we understand that we are to be like Him, that that's the whole purpose of our salvation, that the Lord has predestinated that those who would come to Christ as Savior would be conformed to the image of Christ. And we see this, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:21 reads, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That is His goal for our lives, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Him, that we would be conformed to His image, that we would be a reflection of the glory of God to our fellow man. And it is not something that we try to justify ourselves or try to make ourselves righteous in our own strength. We read that of the Pharisees, of how they were set about establishing their own righteousness and had not submitted to the righteousness of God. But instead that we pursue after, we realize that I'm not able to make myself righteous, but yet I know that the Lord can make me through the power of His Holy Spirit and through the new nature that He has given me. Upon salvation, that I am to seek Him, that is the goal of my life, to become more and more like Him. And we see this in the Apostle Paul's life in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8 and 9. Philippians 3:8-9 reads, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And so we see with these that it says to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that God and His plan for our lives, His purposes in this world, they need to become our first priority. That God has to take first place in our lives. And we understand that the Lord deserves first place. That He has earned it. That He is our God. We think as we study through Scripture of how He speaks of in the law of how that the firstborn was His, that everything that was the firstborn of man or of beast, that it belonged to the Lord and was to be given unto the Lord. And we see also the understanding of the first fruits, that it was to given, that as the Lord blessed, as the Lord provided crops, that people were to give back a portion of what He had given to them in honor to Him. We see this in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." That is the principle that we have in Scripture, and it's found in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, that those who honor God, that He will honor them in return. That when we put Him in first place in our lives, that He is blessed by that, and He blesses us because of that. We think of that in every portion of our life, that we should give Him the first of our day. We read in many passages where it says early in the morning that His people sought Him. We think that the first part of our life, how it speaks in Ecclesiastes, that we remember the Creator in the days of our youth. That it isn't something that we wait till the end, that the Lord deserves the first fruits of every portion of our life. He does so often. Our tendency is we tend to give him leftovers, and that's not what he is deserving of. And we see in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, of how he spoke to his people. He told them to consider your ways, because they did all these things, and he said, it's like you put money in a bag full of holes that you're not getting anywhere. And he said, consider your ways. You're supposed to build my house. That's what I want you to do, and you're concerned with your own house. And they needed to make him their first priority, and when they did so, that the Lord blessed them. The Lord enabled them to finish the construction and be strengthened in that. And so that's what the Lord desires for us, that He loves us. He is our Heavenly Father. He wants to give us everything that we need. But it is something that He expects and He deserves from us, that we put Him first. That He is the one that is deserving of that. That we know that He is going to look after us. That they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That it speaks another place in Psalms, that the psalmist said, I have been young and and now I'm old, and I have never seen the servants of the Lord begging bread. That he takes care of us. And we recognize that it takes faith to do that sometimes, that there's so many things that are happening, we have so many concerns, but yet we have to trust Him. And if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 1. Be our last passage, 1 Kings chapter 1. And this is a story of Elijah and the woman of Zarephath. That's 1 Kings chapter 17. That's incorrect. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we see that because of the wickedness of Ahab, that the Lord withheld the rain, and the Lord was providing for Elijah. And He sent him to this place called Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And we see verse 10, it says, He arose and went to Zarephath, 1 Kings 17, verse 10. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And he went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And you think of that this woman, she's starving. It's just her and her son. She doesn't have very much left, and she's in kind of a desperate situation. And this total stranger comes to her, and he says, "Well, I want something to eat." And she says, "Well, I don't have. I just have enough for me and my son, and we're just going to have one more meal, and then we'll have no more food." And to have this person say, "Well, tell you what, you go and make a cake and you give it to me first. And then the Lord will make sure that He provides for you afterwards." That I think any of us would have been pretty skeptical that this guy is a con man, that I'm not going to be able to trust him at all, that he's just going to fill his belly with the last that I have, and then he's going to be on his way. But yet, she had faith, and she did what Elijah said, and we see that the Lord blessed, that even though she'd empty the barrel, that she'd go back and here there'd be some left, and she'd be able to make another cake, and she was able to eat many days. And the thought of that, if she hadn't had that faith, that what would have happened is she would have made one more little cake, and then she would have had nothing else, and her son would have died. But yet, because she had that faith to give to the man of God and to the Lord first, to make him the priority, that then the Lord blessed him. And that's what the Lord wants us to learn to do, because we are to walk by faith and not by sight, that we are not to be concerned by things that are happening, but we're to trust the Lord's hand to provide for us. And so we are to learn to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and trust that all these things shall be added unto us. That we take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. That we've got it says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof, that we have enough to concern ourselves with in each day, that we leave the rest to the hand of the Lord. And it takes faith in the Lord, but we can know and be absolutely certain that the Lord is the one that we can put our faith in, that we can absolutely trust Him, that so often we would desire that we can have a big, large bank account that we can trust in, or we can rely on an economy that's working well. But those things can be wiped away in an instant, but we know that the Lord is going to look out for us. And so we need to look to Him in that way, that He is the one that will provide. He has provided so much already, and He will continue to do so. And what our part is that we put Him first, that we make Him our priority, that we make our relationship with Him our main focus, that we seek the advancement and enlargement of His kingdom day by day, that we do our responsibilities, we work and we do what we're called upon, but we don't get all concerned about that we give it to the Lord and we put Him first and we trust that He'll take care of the rest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for Your provision, Lord, especially for the provision of Your Son to die on our behalf, Lord, so that we might be saved. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to have faith, Lord, to not worry or to be concerned, but just to trust You, Lord, and to make You our priority, Lord, and just see how that as we honor You, that You will honor us in return. Lord, we just pray that You would give unto You the first things, what You deserve, that it would be an act of worship each day, Lord, that we would give You the first of all that we have, of our time, of our talents, of what You've blessed us with, Lord, that we would return it unto You. And Lord, we just pray that You would strengthen us and just help us throughout this week, Lord, and that You would provide all of our needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, in Your timing and according to Your will and according to Your love and wisdom. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand once more and we'll turn to hymn number 324. Sing Draw Me Near, hymn 324. On the first. I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Brother Jerry, please dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we just thank you for your many blessings. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here to hear your word.